Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want to take just a moment. I'll keep you along. If you're visiting with us, I'm an exegetical teacher, and I cannot wait for the first sermon series of 2017 called High Octane Relationship. God gave me that after Jeremy preached this Wednesday, and then after I had a dream. And you never hear me say things like that around here, but I did, and I know God spoke to me this week. Can't wait to get into that. And then that song that we sing, Take Me There. Those three things influenced this new series that I'll be getting into. However, today's Christmas, and so I always kind of take a break from teaching exegetically and just kind of talk about reflective things during the holidays. I want to talk today about people who miss Christmas. Now, how many have ever heard of the Grinch who stole Christmas? Yeah, we've all heard of him. We all know that he almost missed Christmas, and he thought Christmas was about presents and about parties and about simple merrymaking. Matter of fact, I want to quote him. I want you to listen carefully to me. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling, how could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and he puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he'd never thought of before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? You know, the Whoville people may have not missed Christmas, but there are some people who miss Christmas. And the problem with preaching during the holidays or preaching on familiar subjects like what we've done since the last week of November is that many people think they know what I'm about to say. They think they already know the story. And there's nothing more dangerous to your walk with God than thinking you've got it all wrapped up and you know everything about the Bible. Amen? And it seems to me that it would be kind of hard to miss Christmas. And so as I get started, let me see who has the Bible in here. Hold up your iPads, your Bibles, your iPhones. Let me see them. Wave them at me. There we go. Hey, that's good. I'm going to lead you there in just a minute because we're going to take a good look at the people who miss Christmas. You know, everywhere you turn, you see tons of advertisements about what you need to buy. And so how in the world could you miss Christmas when every time you turn the television on, someone's reminding you that you need to buy this product so you can celebrate Christmas? You know, it's hard to miss Christmas, but I'm going to show you a video rather than read the scriptures to you. I'm going to show you the scriptures. The lights are going to go out, and I'm going to set the stage for the first Christmas. However, there are three people missing, and that's where I'll meet you in just a moment. Everybody put your hands together and give the original Christmas characters a big hand clap. There you go.
Rise out of Israel.
Oh, look.
Come on.
Son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
That's one of my favorite scenes in any nativity scene. But have you ever seen a nativity? I'm sure all of you have, but there's certain things you don't see at a nativity. I have one out in my front yard, and I've got wise men, and I've got shepherds, and I got sheep. I have two donkeys, and I got another wise man that will not stay up because of the wind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got all kinds of characters in my nativity, and you know, when I deliver presents, Sean and I and Edwin are going to deliver presents up to the top part of Illinois tomorrow. And every little town in Illinois has a nativity scene. So I've seen dozens and dozens of them. But you know what I've never seen at a nativity? An innkeeper. And so as we talk about the people who miss Christmas, the first one to ever miss Christmas was the innkeeper. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I mean, it's one thing to miss Christmas. It's another thing to miss it when it's in your backyard. He missed it because a pregnant woman with child had no room. How in the world can you turn away a pregnant woman with a baby in the midst of horrible cold weather? Or weather like that is besides me. I don't understand it. The problem with the innkeeper is he's like a lot of us, like me. I don't know about you, but I pastor 1,300 people with Andrew and Jeremy and all the rest of our pastors. And it's easy to miss Christmas. It's easy to get caught up in buying something for someone that didn't want it in the first place. Can I get an amen? Amen. He missed Christmas because he wouldn't make room for him. You know, I'm a logical person, a rational person, and I kind of say, couldn't he put out a mat somewhere on the floor? I mean, surely she could have slept on the floor. But the point was that the innkeeper was unwilling. He didn't want to be inconvenienced during Christmas. And because he didn't want to be inconvenienced during Christmas, he missed Christmas. So I have a question for you. What was it about the innkeeper that caused him to miss such an important event in his life? He was too busy with other things. Too many people are like that. Their rooms and their lives are filled with junk. Things that really don't matter at the end of the day. They're filled with hobbies and interests and all kinds of other things. And there's not anything wrong necessarily with these things. But it's like my mama has taught me all my life. Michael, you can make a sin out of anything. Amen. They miss Christmas because they miss the Christ in the Mass, the Christmas. They missed him because they were too busy. The innkeeper missed him. And it's one thing to miss Christmas because you're in Iraq fighting for our country. It's another thing to miss Christmas because you're in Vanderbilt Hospital with a sick child. It's one thing to miss Christmas because you haven't got your priorities straight, but it's an entirely different thing to miss Christmas when it's in your backyard. There was a second person that wasn't at the manger that knew all about it. And out of all the ones that miss Christmas, this one bugs me the most. This one makes me mad. I've got to admit my prejudices before I even start today. Is that I have really never struggled with racism. But you know what I really have a hard time with? The second group of people who miss Christmas. Religious people. They drive me nuts. Can I get a witness? Religious people miss Christmas. And I want to show you something that I've passed by many times myself. But this is a shocking group to me. I understand the innkeeper. He didn't even know what was going on. But the religious people knew exactly what was going on. And that's why it's the most shocking. At least the innkeeper was ignorant of what was going on. But Matthew chapter 2 verse 4 says something. It says, Herod gathered together all of the chief priests and the scribes. And let me tell you something. This book has a wonderful chapter in it on scribes. When you see that little insignificant English word scribe in your Bible, you need to have your ears perk up because it was a huge deal. Huge deal. And so the chief priests and the scribes of the people began to inquire of them where Christ was to be born. And they said to him, the chief priests and the scribes, the smartest people theologically of their day, they knew the Old Testament better than I do or you do or anyone else. As a matter of fact, these religious people knew the Old Testament by memorization by the time they were six, if they were a Jew, because of the catechism and the Shema and all of those other things they raised their children by that were good things. But somehow, these really smart people about the Bible missed Christmas. And it's shocking to me because these religious people looked at Herod and here's what they said. And you, Bethlehem of Judea, the land of Judah, and by no means least among the lands, the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Micah 5 and 2 is what they quoted, which Micah wrote that 500 years before Jesus was ever born. So Herod calls in these theologians, these experts, and they quote Micah 5 and 2. And here's the thing I don't understand. They knew. It's one thing to be an ignorant innkeeper and be too busy with life that God's underneath your nose and you can't even spot him. It's another thing to be a Christian or a theologian or an Old Testament scholar in the Talmud or the Mishnah and know exactly where the Messiah is coming from and miss him. Miss him. It's astonishing to me. But you know what? It gets worse. This story actually gets a lot worse. Do you know what really bugs me about this story? Not only did they miss him, and they knew exactly where he was going to be born at, but they didn't even get up and go. They were two to 3 miles away from where the Christmas story was taking place. Now, you know what? If I was a cat, I must admit it. I'm not a gossiper. Anybody knows me, I don't gossip. But I am curious. And if I was a cat, I'd be like negative 33 lives or something like that. I would have had to gone up even if I didn't want it to be him, even if I knew it wasn't him, even if I thought people were making mistakes, I would have had to got up and gone to Bethlehem, 2 to 3 miles away, and I'm like Doubting Thomas, show me your hands. I want to see it. Check it out. That's right. Check it out. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to check some things out. But here's the point. These jokers didn't even get up and go. Listen, the innkeeper didn't know it was Christmas. He's got ignorant as a defense. Ignorance. I always love that little rascal. Anybody watch Little Rascals? I love that. You got to watch it. Some of them are racist, and I don't like that. But there's some of them that shows the purity of children. And this one kid looked at the other kid and said, I told you, spanking, not to show your ignorance in this place. The innkeeper was ignorant. Didn't even know it was Christmas. Didn't even have any idea what was going on because of the busyness in his life. But these jokers not only knew he was coming, they knew where he would be born at, and they knew the specific city, the smallest city of the known world, and they didn't even get up and go. You know, I'm not placing guilt on you because I understand you got to travel. I traveled for Christmas many years on an airplane, just like John has this week. Get on an airplane, go see my family. I get that. But if you're in this area, and it all, by all means, you need to be celebrating the birth of Christ on a Sunday for Christmas. But here's the thing. Since the time of Moses, these jokers have been taught that the Messiah was coming out of Bethlehem of Judea, and they had longed for, they had hoped for, they had prayed for, they had fasted for the arrival of the Messiah. And when they find out that a child had been born, and write this, and underline this in your Bible, because you'll miss it if you don't. Underline where the wise men tell Herod, the king of the Jews, is here. These jokers knew more about the Old Testament than any of us would hope to do. And listen to me. They missed it. Missed it. It's one thing to be ignorant and miss it. It's another thing to miss it and know exactly where it's going to happen and what time it's going to happen. So why do religious people miss Christmas? I'll tell you why. They don't care. And what causes religious people and what causes religious people to miss Christmas is quite easy. They're self-righteous and they're perfect and they're proud. And so why should they ever have to expound on God or dig a little deeper into knowing him in a deeper way? You see, the Christmas story is one of the most dangerous stories, just like the theology in the book of Genesis is some of the most dangerous theology. Noah's Ark, the Nimrod, and the Tower of Babel and Nebuchadnezzar and all those stories you think you know, and actually they've got some of the deepest theological meanings. Simplicity is hid in the scriptures with such depth that it's there. The enemy can use it to fool you many times. You say, oh, I've heard about the wise man. I've got an innkeeper. I played the innkeeper when I was 9 at the First Baptist Church. It's proud indifference that caused religious people to miss Christmas. Jesus was wrapped up in swaddling clothes and they were wrapped up in their own self-system of righteousness. Besides that, why in the world would God's servant visit a pregnant woman who had a baby out of wedlock? Let the government take care of her. It's interesting, though, that God was there. Many people miss Christmas because they don't see the need for Christ in Christmas. They go to church, they observe religious traditions, but that's where it stops for them. And they have no idea who Christ is and what he really has done. They have no concept that Christmas, above the trappings, and I love lights, and I like colored lights. That's the fight every Christmas in my home. Jenny likes white light, I like colored lights. I almost tricked her this year. She sent me after a bunch of lights because our nice dog ate all my Christmas lights last year. And I do mean ate all of them in the front yard. Chewed them up, swallowed them, the whole 9 yards. Bless his little heart. And I noticed this year that they've got new Christmas lights that are white and colored, but they all look white. And I came that close to buying them suckers. That way, when she went in home, I flip that switch and they turn into colored lights. It reminds me of the scriptures. I didn't do it, therefore you shall surely live and not die, saith God. I want you to hear me. Jeremy, get ready, come on up. Religious people missed the first Christmas. Why? Because it was too radical. Too radical. And that's that. Listen, if you've been here, and I see lots of you today that have been here with me 17 years, none of you can remember maybe this many times that I've ever said God spoke to me in a dream. Benny, Raymond, you've been here that long. God spoke to me in a dream this week. He's been speaking to me through that song, Take Me There. He spoke to me while Jeremy preached Wednesday and gave it to me just like a machine gun spitting off. And then I went to bed. I don't know about you, but have you ever went to bed so stressed out and down you just didn't know whether you're going to wake up in the morning? Isn't it funny how you get there? Because you can be just like Elijah. You can be on top of the mountain one time defeating the prophets of Baal. Fire comes down from heaven, slurps up their water. And God does a miracle through nothing of your own means. And then the next stinking morning, you're saying, God, where are you? Anybody ever been there? Can I see your hands? The rest of you liars, keep your hands down. Let me see your hands. You ever walk with God any amount of time? That's the truth. And I was at that point this week. Didn't tell Jenny. I didn't tell anybody else. Didn't even tell Andy or Jeremy or Kim. I was just at that point. I was so discouraged. And I went to bed and I remember crying in my spirit before I went to bed, God, I didn't ask for this. You need to touch me. And God started telling me, reminding me about Joseph, the father of God, earthly father of God, how he went to sleep, and while he was asleep, God touched him. And I'll talk more about it later, but I had a dream, and I was trapped in the lobby of this church, and it was dark, and I was trying to find my way, and I had my hands in the air, and I was worshiping God. And I bumped into an adversary. I won't get into that. But I remember rebuking it instantly, and I remember the presence of God being more real in my life than I had ever felt him in my whole life. And then all of a sudden, I saw a revival break out here. And this church is a good church. It's a busy church. It's not a perfect church. If you're perfect, please stay away. You'll screw it up for the rest of us. That's good preaching for a white boy. Not a perfect church. Not going to be perfect till Jesus comes back. But I saw this church working. And listen, our church works like bees. We'd give a Mormon an embarrassing moment. It's true. There's reasons why bees are all over Utah. It's because Mormons were considered worker bees. They work so hard for their cause. We give a Mormon a run for their money at this church. But this church was as busy with purpose that I had ever seen it in my life, and it was just a spirit of joy everywhere we went. And I woke up, and I knew that while I had slept, someone touched me. Now, you don't have to believe me, but that's why I always worry about days like today. We have hundreds of people gone. And I thought about, should we call off church, but it really wasn't at that level. But I am also the one that flipped his truck 15 feet in the air, rolled 5 times, and had to be cut out with the jaws of life several years ago because I was going to bury a woman in an ice storm. And I will go to my deathbed telling you and anyone else who'd listen that I know, because I didn't have my seatbelt on, that someone grabbed me. I felt it physically grab me and hold me in the seat. And I walked away from that, and even the people who saw it happen said, I don't know how you're alive. I know God can touch you. I mean, believe God could touch you like that. Supernaturally, he touched me in my sleep, and I woke up and I knew I'd been touched by God. I thought about Joseph. He woke up, he went to bed thinking, I'm going to get a divorce. He went to bed saying, you know, my marriage is over. He went to bed saying, I thought she loved me. And he got up the next morning, and everything was all right. Christmas can be too radical when you look at it the proper way. In other words, they didn't want to be around a woman who had had a baby out of wedlock. They didn't want to befriend a homosexual, a Muslim, or a drug addict. And that's why religious people miss the first Christmas. Maybe God needs to touch you when you sleep this year. Maybe God needs for you to lay your burdens down like Joseph did in that dream. But there's one more, and that's King Herod. Just give me 5 minutes. Matthew 2, 1 through 3. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, a magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born the king of the Jews?" Now notice the words that wise men used. An innkeeper missed Christmas because he was too busy and indifferent. Religious people miss Christmas because they don't really care. They have a shallow walk with God. But Herod was so far away from God. And the wise men showed up and said, "Show me where the king of the Jews is at that's been born in Israel." In Matthew 2, verse 7 and 8 says, "Then Herod secretly called the magi." And I never noticed that until this week. Secretly, Herod would, "Shh, come here." Secretly called the magi. And he said something really interesting. He said, "Go and find out where this baby's at. He's now about 2. And when you find him, come back and tell him. Tell me so I can worship him too. This won't take but 60 seconds. Watch this video and I'll show you how horrible of a human being Herod was. And he missed Christmas for a different reason.
Sire, the astrologer Balthazar.
Balthazar. No, come. Wine?
You're very gracious, Your Majesty. I'd rather not. I wonder, what can you tell me of the new king?
King?
Of the Jews?
Yes.
What news of him?
King of the Jews? Am I missing something?
Did you not come here to see the king of the Jews? Are you not looking at Herod, king of the Jews? Of course.
And who is claiming to be king?
No one. He's not born yet. It is a prophecy heralded by the star. Surely your scribes have received the revelation.
Stars, prophecies, interrupt my meal for this. Please, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Listen carefully to me. Herod wasn't even a Jew. He actually was ruling the land of Judea because his family were great politicians. He was actually one of the cruelest people in the Christmas story. He actually had 10 wives and had one of them killed and 3 of his sons slaughtered. Why? Fear. Everything he would do, he did it with pomp and glory and circumstance, and he had to be praised and lauded no matter where he went. And don't get me wrong, he was a tremendous architect. He built over 20 cities. But he was a coward and he was afraid. And so here's my question as I end. Herod could have quite possibly been the first Scrooge of Christmas. And the Bible says that he was tricked by the Magi. And when the English Bible says he flew into a rage, the Greek actually says he came unglued. He was so mad. And why did Herod miss Christmas? Well, he missed it for a lot of reasons. He missed it because fear gripped his heart. I don't know whether God's going to take care of me this year. I don't know whether I got the right present for someone else. I don't know. He had fear. Herod's fear was he's going to lose his throne. So he walked around intoxicated with power because he liked being king and he didn't want nobody else to be king, especially some little snotty baby in a manger. But why did he really miss Christmas? He missed Christmas because he pretended to be something he wasn't. Herod said, "When you find him, would you please come back and tell me so I can worship him too?" He had no intentions on worshiping Jesus for Christmas. He had no intentions on laying a gift at the feet of Mary and Joseph. He wanted to kill them. That's why he killed every child, Bethlehem and around, 2 years or younger. Herod didn't have any desire to worship Jesus, so he just pretended. A lot of us pretend during Christmas. We pretend at church. We pretend to go. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't point at anybody, but you listen carefully, and I want to see your hands. How many of you have got family members that remind you of Cousin Eddie? Let me see your hands. And you act like you like them. You see them this week or tonight or tomorrow or whenever you got your parties, and you hug them and you act like they're their best friend in the world. And how many of you know you can't wait for them to leave? We all have that kind of circumstances during Christmas of pretending. We go to an office party, act like we like somebody and talk to them for 30 minutes and we don't really care what they have to say. But it's much deeper than that. Herod pretended to worship Jesus at Christmas. And why did Herod miss Christmas? Because he was the original Grinch that could not join in on the joy. The wise man fell down with joy and worshiped him. The shepherds were told by the angels, good news and mega joy is coming your way because of Christmas. And they all fell down and they worshiped him. And Herod missed out on Christmas because he couldn't join in on their joy. Can I ask you a question? What's causing you to miss Christmas this year? I know many of you. I'm your shepherd. I've walked you, a lot of you, through funerals. Just walked a family this week through a tragic funeral. I've walked a lot of you, first service, second service. I've been there with you as your loved one dies. I understand how that caused you to miss Christmas. Why are you missing Christmas this year? Is it going by you so quickly because your heart is so full of other things and the rooms of your heart is filled like the innkeeper's? Are you so religious that you're in the trappings of Christmas, but yet there's no true meaning of Christmas? About a baby in a manger who became a man, the incarnation of God, lived on this earth for 33 years, died on a cross and rose again so that you and I might be saved? So that we might have a way. I know it sounds corny. I know you've heard it before. I know, yak, 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 yak. I feel like Charlie Brown when I preach about Christmas. Walk, 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 walk. But I've made myself, after being touched by God in the middle of the night, and quite frankly, and I please don't think I've lost my mind, it had to have been an angel that touched me while I slept. Proof is in how I live my life. The worries and the cares of this world can choke away the meaning of Christmas. And I know I'm a pastor. It's not supposed to choke away. No, religious people are one of the main people who miss Christmas. And I'm a Christian. I hate religion. Can I get an amen? There's a difference. It's about a relationship. And why are you about to miss Christmas? Are you missing Christmas because you miss someone else? Are you missing Christmas because you're worried about what's ahead? Are you missing Christmas because you're afraid of the future? I got news for you. Listen carefully to me to these final words. Don't be Herod this Christmas and know exactly where it's happening and then be too afraid that you keep your distance from it. My heart breaks for Herod. The Bible says we all have to become like little children to get into the kingdom of heaven. I quoted that at a funeral this week. And I feel comfortable telling you this as I close. I didn't ask for permission, so I hope I don't hurt anyone's feelings. But I buried a great man this week. He was raised as an orphan in Owensboro, Kentucky. And back in those days, when you were an orphan, they would load you up on a bus and they would take you, and literally, no pun intended, farm you out to all other communities. And then that family would keep you during harvest season, and then the bus would come back and they would send you back to the orphanage. And this little boy at 7 years old looked up when the harvest had come in. The story touched me. And looked up at his mom, the woman and the man that owned the farm in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and said, if you keep me, I will be the bestest boy you've ever had. When I heard that story, my heart just yearned because I realized what wisdom was in the mouth of a 7-year-old. When he looked up to a woman he didn't know and said, if you keep me, I'll be the bestest boy you've ever had. That mother looked down and that father looked down at that child and they adopted that child. And that child's sitting in here listening to me while I preach right now. The child of the son and the daughter of that man. He says, if you keep me, I'll be the bestest boy you've ever had. And I realized that if it were not for the adoption of Jesus Christ, where would I be? The truth is, we all have been adopted because of Christmas. And our hearts say, if you'll keep me, I'll be the bestest boy you've ever had. When in reality, works don't keep you, grace does. And so what more reason do you have that you might attribute to the word mega joy than having been adopted by grace? I love you. Your altar call is right outside that door. Go and live well. I'll see you next Sunday.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.